Crafters are preparing for a world without Joann Fabric. The chain is closing hundreds of stores as a result of its bankruptcy. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about life post-Joann are textile artist Abby Langdon, Sew Valley Director of Operations Madeline Misla, and Cincinnati Public Library Loveland Branch Library Manager Kaya Bergen. Sorry. Thank you all so much for being here today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
I want to ask each of you, I'll start with you, Kaya, what was your reaction when you heard Joann was closing? Were you sad, happy? Did you have any emotional reaction to the news?
As someone who uses Joann quite frequently, I was completely shocked because it started out as they were only closing a few stores and then it went to all. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do?
What about you, Abby?
Oh, heartbroken. Yeah. I love Joann Fabrics, and I've used them forever. So, and this is such a tactile business, obviously. You need to see and touch everything to see if it's what you need. So sure. I'm really going to miss it.
Yeah. Maddie?
It's the end of an era. We've lost Benashes and Hancock's, so it's going to be hard to do business without it.
Yeah. Well, what role has the store played in your work, Abby? I mean, talk about the importance of Joann to what you do as an artist.
Yeah. It's important to be able to color match and see exactly what the material is, whether it's the appropriate weight, whether it's representative of what it is you need to do. And that's a very difficult thing to figure out online. And I have amazing online sources, but it's, you know, especially in a pinch, you need to be able to run in and grab things and improvise. So,
yeah. Kaya, what about you? You talked about how you went to Joann a lot. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your experiences there. What you've gone there for?
I've gone there for crafts, especially being at the library. We do a lot of programming at CHPL, and it's a lot of craft programming. Even talking to Abby earlier, she does programming for the library with crafts and stuff. So it was a place for us to source materials to provide for our programming. So that will have to shift.
Yeah. And Maddie, what about, I mean, I don't know, did you go to Joann a lot for what you do with Sew Valley, or was that for your own personal stuff?
Both, but so Sew Valley works with a lot of other vendors who can cater towards bulk production, but in order to build a sample to get ready for production, we just need one spool of thread, or, you know, we just need a color match, we need a little bit of elastic. It was our local hardware store for all of the bits and bobs you might need to put something together without having to buy everything you need for bulk production.
Sure, that makes sense. Well, we're talking about where crafters are sourcing their sewing without Joann Fabric. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. So I want to ask you this, Maddie, do you have any opinion about why the chain went out of business? I mean, I've heard people blame private equity. I've also read comments from people saying that the market forces changed. I know you were not in charge of Joann Fabric in any way, but you do help to run Sew Valley, so uh-huh. You've got some business stuff going on.
Right.
Do you have thoughts on that?
Oy, I don't know. Maybe it was all the coupons. Just kidding. We love the coupons.
Yeah. But you haven't studied that kind of business end of things. Anybody else have thoughts? I don't know if you've been reading up and trying to dissect what happened.
I've definitely been reading up. And I've also been talking to people in the store. So I was in on Monday and took an official survey of one employee. And she was of the opinion that it is very much corporate greed. And the CEO who was supposed to be saving them was getting $250,000 a month.
Wow.
We don't
have that confirmed, but that's
a lot
of money.
This is all hearsay.
Yeah.
But she seemed very official. She felt that if the family had still been involved, that there would have been more impetus to take care of it and nurture it and make sure it lasted.
Yeah. That is something. I mean, this was a family business mm-hmm. for many, many years. And now then was, all that changed and a lot changes when the business ownership structure changes. So Kaya, where are you going now? I mean, without Joanne Fabric to get, are you hitting those out, going out of business sales to try to?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Hitting the going out of business sales, using those coupons. But even our other resources that we have in the county, there's the Hamilton County Reuse Recycle Center. So you can go there for your crafting needs. And then there are other craft stores. So getting more into local and supporting those fabric stores available.
Yeah, you just mentioned the Hamilton County Reuse and Recycle Hub. I was reading in preparation for this stories about creative reuse centers, like mm-hmm. basically thrift stores for crafting yeah. and sewing, and yeah. they have all that there?
Yes,
all right.
They do. And, you know, we're always crafting, doing like wine cork crafts or embroidery crafts or even doing little fabric crafts at Loveland. We do have a Sew What program, and it helps teenagers learn the basics of sewing. And we recently did like scrunchies and stuff like that. So getting fabric from alternative sources.
Yeah. Abby, where do you prefer to get the materials you use as a fabric artist?
I try to shop locally as much as possible. And Silk Road Textiles is a really great source locally. We have a lot of quilt fabric shops, which are fantastic, but Silk Road is nice because they have some more garment-type things as well. So you yeah. can find some good silks and things there, and pieces from around the world, which is nice.
Yeah. Maddie, I think you mentioned, you know, and here locally, we used to have Hancock, we used to have Banache. Mm-hmm. I've had a friend call it Banache, so I don't know if I'm saying it right. Right. Tomato, tomato, yeah. Banache, Banache. But those are all, you know, those places are gone. Mm-hmm. Are there other, you know, smaller local places that you like to go to without Joanne or post Joanne?
There's really not a lot of options now. There, you could check out Indigo Hippo, but, you know, you don't know what's going to be there. For the things that we were going to Joanne's for, like thread and elastic, I think it'll be... We'll have to do it online. Etsy can be a great place for smaller batch things. But like you were saying earlier, it's so hard to color match on a screen.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, we're talking about where crafters are sourcing their sewing without Joanne Fabric. What are your memories of Joanne? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.com. Etsy, in addition to the threads and those kinds of things, what about vintage fabric? Do any of you ever look for that online or on Etsy, or do you even just go to thrift stores and start taking stuff apart?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, I love upcycling like old scarves into hats and things. So, yeah, vintage fabrics are fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kaya, is that something you ever do for library stuff?
Oh, definitely, with the upcycling programs that some of our branches have. It does give me like that Carol Burnett episode where she's making stuff from curtains.
Now, I would not have pegged you for being old enough to know that Carol Burnett. I guess it's in reruns, but yeah, I mean, that's the classic. Yeah, that's a great one. Even, you know, Sound of Music, Julie mm-hmm. Andrews made traveling outfits out of curtains for those kids.
Yes.
So yeah, you can get that vibe going. Well, are you seeing, Kaya, more people getting interested in sewing? Do you feel like the pandemic kind of jump-started that with people?
Oh, definitely. Just being at Loveland as the branch manager for the last 3 years, you can see that intergenerational cause that it has had. We have an annual quilt show every year, and previous years, you see like the grandmother coming in and then her grandchild also submitting a quilt. So sharing in that capacity, the legacy of quilts and stuff like that. So definitely.
Yeah. What about at Sew Valley? Are you hearing more and more interest from people who are interested? I mean, I know you all have classes there. And
Yeah. I would say for sure, like you were saying during the pandemic, we definitely had more people come out of the woodwork that wanted to build a product. And I thought that was really interesting. And then also, I think there's a bigger shift towards upcycling and saving onto the clothing. holding on to clothing that might need a little bit more of repair. It needs hemmed. So we have people reaching out all the time. I want to learn how to sew so that I can fix my clothes or make my own clothes or upcycle clothes.
Yeah. We got a call from Nick who says there's a great resource for you reusing and recycling fabric in Pleasant Ridge. Is that different from the one we've talked about? Is anybody familiar with that?
There's another kind of reuse center. It's a and the name escapes me right now, which is unbelievable because I do love that place. But yeah, it's up in Pleasant Ridge. Yeah. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Lots of fabric and yarn by the pound.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah, nice. It's pretty great.
Yeah. Nothing like a pop quiz on live radio. We all have to get on that. Nick calls back and tells the name of that place.
Yeah.
We have another caller on the line. Hi, Bill. Thanks for calling. What is your question or comment?
Well, the comment would be, is a possible source, not locally, but is an extremely good source of fabric and sewing notions. Users could go to SailRite, SailRite.com. They do sell sewing machines. They're like a walking foot type sewing machine used in the fabrications of more heavily weighted material.
Kind of industrial strength.
Needles and, yeah, in that way. I've sewn a number of things that weren't quite in that weight, but it works.
Okay. Well, thanks, Bill. We appreciate that. SailRite.com. Is that something you've ever heard of?
Yeah. I've been on there when I was making some leather bags. I got some of the thread from SailRite.
Oh, okay. Okay.
SailRite
great.
Is great. Mm-hmm. I have one of their machines.
Oh.
And I believe they're manufactured out of Indiana. I think it's almost local.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a great alternative to industrial machines.
Super. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for that call. We appreciate it. We were talking about machines just now. Where do you get your machine repaired? I mean, that seems like another thing that's disappearing, places where you can take machines that need a little tune-up or repair.
For industrial machines, there are like two guys in Cincinnati.
And you're not giving their names because you need them all to yourself.
Yeah. They're very busy.
Yeah.
But we usually use Webb & Sons. They're up in Dayton. And he's been a really wonderful resource and has been teaching us so much about how to repair machines and do some things on our own. So he's been great.
Okay.
Luke's. They will take any machine and they can fix anything.
Yeah. And there are still a number of Luke's locations around locally, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kaya, do you have any other tips for that? Nope. Like those are the places. Those are the options. We got an email from Lisa. Lisa writes, I like to make drapery and do upholstery, but it's been difficult to source material in this area since the departure of Calico Corner. That's another oldie but a goodie. Any suggestions for this type of fabric? It needs to be heavier and tougher, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that upholstery fabric at Joann Fabrics was pretty handy.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's a bummer. Sorry, Lisa. Sorry we don't have any great tips for you on that. You know, I've seen fabric in other places. I mean, there was, you know, they sell limited fabric at Michaels. They sell limited fabric at Walmart even. Do you think folks will start going there without Joann?
My mom ran into Walmart after going to Joann. She was frantic. Buying up what she could, and she was trying to match something. And the man at Walmart told her that they are closing the craft department.
Oh, no. Oh.
What?
Good Lord.
Come on, Walmart. This is your opportunity.
I know.
It's going to be a black market.
Yeah. No kidding. It's going to be like those old cartoons where people are stealing clothes off laundry lines and, just to make new stuff. Okay, Nick called back and said the name of the store in Pleasant Ridge is Scrap It Up.
Yes,
okay.
That is it.
That's a very clever name.
Scrap It Up.
Okay, do you have thoughts on where you'll be going for library? You said the Reuse Hub. Is that one of the places you're going to go now, or are there other places you're going to be?
Reuse Hub, and then with the closure of Joann, it kind of forces you to go online. So Amazon... there is Spoon Flower, which is just thinking more about it with the person with the upholstery question. But that you can even make your own unique fabric at Spoonflower. So
is that a local place or is that online?
It is online.
Okay.
In Walmart, but you're breaking news that they're getting rid of the craft department.
Yeah, at least at the Walmart your mom went to.
At the Mason location.
The Mason location. Yeah. Goodness. Okay.
I believe there is a store in Waynesville that does upholstery fabric that has lots.
Okay.
And Fabric Shack, maybe. Oh. So check what Waynesville has.
Okay. Okay. Lisa, Google upholstery fabric, Waynesville, maybe Fabric Shack.
Maybe not upholstery, but yeah. Home decor.
Home decor. Okay. Okay. Super. Well, you know, we've been talking, reminiscing about Joanne, but there are people out there who would argue Joanne was partially responsible for the loss of these beloved local fabric stores, Benesh and, Calico Corner and all these things. I think my grandmother always shopped at Benesh for fabrics. She used to always talk about it. Do you think there's an opportunity for smaller, locally owned stores to either grow or kind of, you know, fill in these blanks? What do you all think?
I think that's the hope. Yeah. I believe that's what people are hoping will happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's so much opportunity there. Mm-hmm. Joanne's was a low barrier entry for a lot of beginners and novices. Mm-hmm. So our local businesses can step into that void that's been created, especially around classes. And that's how the library, we've always had programs and classes at our maker spaces, but that's one way we can intentionally step in that way of teaching people.
Yeah. Does it seem kind of crazy? I mean, I know we've talked about their business reasons that Joanne closed, but does it seem crazy that these places are shutting down crafting departments and closing stores when it seems like there's growing interest in sewing and crafting? I mean, does it feel like there's a disconnect with all this?
A little bit, yeah. There's so much. People are still sewing all the time, and that we need materials, we need resources. It's really just a shame.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. We did get a call from Paula. She confirms Fabric Shack in Waynesville is a great place to get upholstery fabric. So well done, Abby. Lisa, that's what you need to find. Fabric Shack.
Paula.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Paula, for listening, for helping us out there. Well, let's talk about classes that are available locally. Maddie, do you all have stuff at Sew Valley? What do you offer for that kind of thing?
So we have Intro to Industrial Sewing. There's a entry class and then a level 2 option after that. And you can learn how to sew right on industrial equipment. It's going to be really cool. We also have DIY alterations. And we have a upcoming dye workshop.
Okay. And where will people be able to find information about that?
At sewvalley.org.
Okay. Easy enough. And it's sewvalley.org.
Yep.
Exactly. Okay. Super. Kaya, how about at the library? What do you all have coming up?
Well, at the Loveland Branch Library, we have our 25th annual quilt show coming up this May. May 3rd will be our open house, and it spans the entire month. So you're definitely welcome to come out. But on a monthly basis, we do have a Sew What program for our teens to give like that entry level into sewing and sometimes the embroidery machine as well that we have. So definitely look out for those events.
What are you seeing from teens? You know, we had a number of men call in about this. Mm-hmm. And are you seeing, you know, all kinds of demographics in those classes?
Oh, definitely. We recently did a zipper pouch where a young man attended our class, and he was so excited. He actually, instead of using the sewing machine, he wanted to hand sew.
Oh,
his
go
zipper
old school.
Pouch. Yes. Yeah. So truly get the mechanics down.
Yeah. How'd it turn out? Is it pretty good looking?
It was.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I hope he's listening. Shout out to him. Abby, tell us about the Weavers Guild. What kind of opportunities are there?
Oh, the Weavers Guild is fantastic, and you can learn all sorts of techniques there. We don't have machine sewing classes per se. There's lots of spinning and weaving and dyeing. We have a dye garden. I mean, the place is fantastic. And I do teach there. I teach hand embroidery and beaded embroidery and those sorts of things, too.
Oh.
It's a really great place. It's a great community place for anyone who loves textiles.
Yeah. We just got an email from Claire who recommends Arty Fabrics and Home for upholstery fabric. Is anybody familiar with that? I don't know where that is, but it's spelled A-R-T-E-E, according to Claire. Arty Fabrics and Home. So there's another one for you, Lisa, if you're still listening. I hope so. Well, we talked about how sewing and crafting kind of picked up during the pandemic, and it seems like it's also people have an interest because of sustainability and concerns about fast fashion. Do you think this is just going to continue to grow, Kaya, based on what you're seeing at the library?
Definitely. It's people becoming more aware of waste and how they can be more sustainable. So most definitely.
Yeah. What do you all think? I'll ask you, Abby.
Yeah, I think that the faster society, you know, the faster life seems to be paced and the more technology we're confronted with daily, the more there's kind of a need for a balance. And people just love to be able to sit down and calmly sew for a little while, talk to each other. It's a nice counterbalance to all of that.
Yeah. Do you agree with that, Maddie?
100%. I think we're absolutely going to shift that way. And we really hope to build value in what it is that we do and building garments and the hard work that it takes with the devaluation of fast fashion. We'll hope to bring that back.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with textile artist Abby Langdon, Sew Valley Director of Operations Madeline Misla, and Cincinnati Public Library Loveland Branch Library Manager Kaya Bergen. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.